in the limelight.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange won in the magistrates' court in January 2021. The court decided not to extradite Julian Assange based on his mental state and the high probability he would commit suicide if he were sent to harsh prison conditions in the United States. The US appealed that decision to the High Court last December and won. It was on that decision the Supreme Court recently denied Julian Assange's petition to appeal. We now present you an article written by Joe Lauria, editor-in-chief of Consortium News, and a former United Nations correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, and numerous other newspapers. The piece is titled, Assange Denied Permission to Appeal Extradition. Julian Assange, the publisher of WikiLeaks, has been denied his petition to appeal the High Court's decision to extradite him to the United States, where he faces up to 175 years in prison for publishing U.S. state secrets that revealed evidence of American war crimes. Stella Morris, Julian Assange's fiancée, tweeted the news on Monday, 14th of March. The next possible step for Assange to forestall extradition is to ask the High Court to hear a cross-appeal against the lower court's judgment. Julian Assange's attorneys on Monday, 14th of March, indicated that this would likely be their next step. They issued a statement about it. Julian Assange won in the magistrate's court in January of 2021. That court decided not to extradite Assange based on his mental state and the high probability he would commit suicide if he were to be sent to harsh prison conditions in the United States. The U.S. appealed that decision to the High Court last December and won. It was on that decision the Supreme Court recently denied Julian Assange's petition to appeal. Though the magistrates' court ruled that he should not be extradited on health grounds, the judge agreed with the United States on every point of law in her 132-page ruling. The judge, Vanessa Baretza, rejected all of Assange's legal arguments and agreed that his publishing activities violated the law. As Australian pundit Caitlin Johnston put it at the time, Judge Vanessa Baretza's frightening ruling supported virtually every US prosecutorial argument that was made during the extradition trial, no matter how absurd and Orwellian. This includes quoting from a long-discredited CNN report alleging without evidence that Julian Assange made the embassy a command post for election interference, saying the right to free speech does not give anyone unfettered discretion to disclose any document they wish, dismissing arguments from the defence that UK law prohibits extradition for political offences, parroting the false claim that Assange's attempt to help protect his source, Chelsea Manning, while she was exfiltrating documents she already had access to, was not normal journalistic behaviour, saying US intelligence might have had legitimate reasons to spy on Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and claiming Assange's rights would be protected by the US legal system if he were extradited to the United States. However, Julian Assange's legal team appears set to now launch a cross-appeal in which they will challenge the following points, as laid out in the UK by British legal commentator Joshua Rosenberg, QC. 1. The US-UK extradition treaty forbids extradition for political offences, with the consequence that the court lacked jurisdiction to hear the case. 2. The allegations against Assange did not meet the dual criminality test found in Section 137 of the Extradition Act. 3. Extradition would be unjust or oppressive under Section 82 of the Extradition Act because of the passage of time. 4. Extradition is barred because it is being sought for the extraneous considerations mentioned in Section 81 of the Extradition Act. These include the suspect's political opinions. 5. Extradition is barred by Section 87 of the Extradition Act because it was breached the Human Rights Convention by violating Article 6, the right to a fair trial, Article 7, by exposing Assange to a novel and unforeseeable extension of US law, and Article 10, freedom of expression. The judge concluded that she did not need to decide an argument that extradition would expose Assange to inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment contrary to Article 3 of the Convention, given her conclusion on oppressiveness. 6. The extradition request is an abuse of process because it proceeds on a misrepresentation of the facts and because the prosecution is being pursued for an ulterior political motive and is not brought in good faith. The High Court on 24th of January had left it up to the Supreme Court to determine whether it would grant permission to consider appeal on one legal issue, namely that assurances the United States gave to the magistrate's court should have been made during the lower court's hearing in September of 2020 and not afterwards. After Assange's extradition had been barred on health grounds, the US gave Britain diplomatic assurances that it would not put Assange under the harshest incarceration regime, namely Special Administrative Measures, or SAMs, and that he would receive adequate physical and mental health care. Julian Assange's lawyers argued to the High Court in December that the United States was trying to relitigate Judge Bates's decision because it was only after the US lost the case that it came up with these assurances. The High Court on 24th of January left it up to the Supreme Court to decide on whether to hear Julian Assange's appeal on a single point of law. In what circumstances can an appellate court receive assurances from a requesting state which were not before the court of first instance in extradition proceedings? The High Court had ruled in December that Julian Assange's extradition could go ahead, vacating Judge Bates's decision. The High Court did not disagree with the substance of that ruling, however, it accepted the US assurances. On the basis of those assurances alone, the High Court overturned Judge Bates's ruling, clearing the way for extradition. The High Court in December rejected the defense's argument that the assurances came too late. Lord Justice Timothy Holroyd said, "The court rejected various criticism argued on Mr. Assange's behalf that the assurances were not sufficient. Siding with the United States, which argued that the assurances could come at any point in the legal process, he read, "For the reasons given in the judgment, which is today handed down, the court allowed the appeal on the grounds that, 1. The district judge, having decided that the threshold for discharge under Section 91 of the Extradition Act 2003 was met, ought to have notified the USA of her provisional view to afford it the opportunity to offer assurances to the court, and 2. The USA has now provided the United Kingdom with a package of assurances which respond to the district judge's specific findings." The High Court judgment said, In our view, a court hearing, an extradition case, whether at first instance or on appeal, has the power to receive and consider assurances whenever they are offered by a requesting state. It said further, an offer of assurances in an extradition case is a solemn matter, requiring careful consideration by the requesting state of its willingness to give specific undertakings to another state. It would not be appropriate to require that to be done on a contingent or hypothetical basis. And we doubt the practicability of such an approach. We do not accept that the United States of America refrained for tactical reasons from offering assurances at an earlier stage, or acted in bad faith in choosing only to offer them at the appeal stage. The High Court also tried to justify why the US waited until after the extradition hearing in September of 2020 to make its assurances. The court said, "We observe that the decision that all closing submissions should be made in writing, in a case in which the arguments had ranged far and wide over many days of hearing, may well have contributed to the difficulty faced by the USA in offering suitable assurances any earlier than it did. Had the defense known about the assurances during the extradition hearing in district court, it could have argued with evidence from previous cases about their unreliability, but they were never given that chance."